If you were with us last week, you heard Tana preach on the Beatitudes. And the larger banner here in Matthew's chapters 5 to 7 is Jesus in a pretty famous message called the Sermon on the Mount. In the wake of Tana's sermon last week, this part of the Sermon on the Mount moves us to a place where we're going to reflect on our destiny and identity as the people of God. And I appreciated Tana's message last week, her reflections on the Beatitudes. I thought she really brought to life these radicals that we've been talking about during the past several months here at First Baptist. We've been talking about being a people of radical generosity, radical reverence, and radical welcome. And what I mean by that in relation to Tana's sermon is that as she walked us through the nine blesseds last week, it was not about striving or clamoring. It wasn't about who gets in and who gets booted out. It wasn't about power and control, but instead it was about the way of Jesus in the world, downward mobility. It was about the dream of God coming to life in the midst of an often upside-down economy in the Gospels. And in the end, God gets what God wants. Not in a tyrannical, maniacal, crazy way, but in a way of love. It's a way of grace, and it has this wide, wide, wide embrace of humanity. Today's text on salt and light is a continuation of last week's tone. Jesus begins with two images or two metaphors. The first one is this: y'all are salt. As with many instances in the Second Testament, when we read the English you, it doesn't reflect the Greek translation of you all. And so in today's text, when we read you are the salt of the earth, we need to hear this as you all are the salt of the earth. This is a message for community. This isn't a message for individuals to do their individual thing. Y'all are the salt of the earth. Imagine Jesus preaching to 150 or 200 people on a hill, not just one person standing alone in solitary. And so 2,000 message years later, as we read the story of God, the message of the Gospels to us, we ought not read this through individualistic lenses. Jesus is declaring to us that we are salt, together as a community. And whether that be thinking of us as a community in this local congregation, or whether it's thinking of us as Christians partnering with the billion Christians who are on the planet, the idea is we are salt. And Jesus gets a little bit mischievous here because he talks about salt losing its saltiness. And we know that that's not true. Salt is salt. It flavors things. And so it is with the children of God, that we too are supposed to be useful. We are to be who we are. And we're to be in contact with others. I was reading an interesting quote this week about salt, and the writer said, "A salt shaker 1 centimeter away from food is useless." Good point. A salt shaker 1 centimeter away from food is useless. So unless the salt makes contact with something, like you can't taste it. Trying to fight that sore throat. I want to pass around these salt shakers this morning. In ancient times, salt was a sign of hospitality, a sign of healing, a sign of welcome. Got to get all linked up here. In ancient times, salt was a sign of healing, a sign of welcome. And so this morning, as you're passing the salt shaker, And I'm going to pass the cranky ones out. Just crank it a tiny bit and put it into the palm of the person next to you, and then lick the salt. If you don't feel comfortable with that, you don't have to. I don't know why I'm creaking and tweaking up here. So choir, we'll start with you. And if you feel comfortable enough, or if you're an extrovert, you might just say to that person as you're passing it, "You are salt." Because we are salt together. You are salt. So you can start it on that side. Start it on that side and just pass it and say, "You are salt." And hopefully this will remind us that we are salt. Lick that salt to remind you that you're supposed to taste like something. You're supposed to have an effect on something as the people of God. We are salt. Secondly, Jesus says, "Y'all are light." He uses a second image in the Gospels. He says to his followers and to us, "You are light." And again, it's this declarative statement. It's a statement about our identity. As followers of Jesus, Jesus is saying, you can't help but illuminate. You're like a city on the hill. A city doesn't have to conjure up the light. It's a light because that is what it is. And so this morning, just to help us get into this a bit, I'm going to pass around these lighters. There's no fire marshal here, is there? And so as you're passing the lighter around, just flick it for your friend or your neighbor and just say, "You are light. You are light." And just pass that around. Don't let them touch it, because you are light. Debbie, you are light. Thank you. You are light. So as we taste the salt, as we flick our Bix, remember that as salt and light, we have a destiny. And our destiny is for good. And we'll just close with the last minutes as we prepare to move towards the table with a focus on Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And I want us to try to embrace this mystery of how our good works are somehow swirled into God's work. What does it look like when we are salt or light in this community of faith, or as we work through our lives in terms of school or vocation or places of recreation? What does it look like, or what does it feel like when we are salt? What are our experiences of being light in the world? Has it happened even in this past week in your life? Can you reflect even on the past few days and say, "Yes, I get it. I've been able to join in God's good works in the city, in my huddle of friends, in people who are family to me." I want us to remember that God is on the move. He's on the move all the time. And we get to join in on God's good works. And sometimes, he even uses us Christians to be the good work in the city.
Karen, when she sent out an email, Karen Bell is our children's minister this week, she said, share with your children how they are salt and light in your life. And I know we don't have time to share audibly this morning, but let's just reflect on that, even as we move towards the table. What does it look like? What does it feel like? How can we invite others to share with us how they are salt and light in your life? And if you're feeling stumped as you go into this week and you're wondering, well, what does it look like for me to be salt or to be light? I want you to reflect on the Isaiah 58 text. We've heard it read by Brennan this morning, the Isaiah 58 text, verses 1 to 12. In that very small text are many ways that we can, in practical ways, be salt and light in the city. Isaiah's themes of loosing, undoing, letting go, breaking free, sharing, bringing, sheltering, covering, removing, offering, satisfying, these lead to restoration and renewal for the people of God. And so even in the weeks ahead, even in the remaining weeks of Epiphany, will we keep on being open as a people of salt, because that's who we are, as a people of light, because that's who we are? Can we be open to what God is inviting us to do in the month of February, or maybe it's in the season of Epiphany? How does God want us to be a people who shelter, a people who loose, a people who let go, a people who share, a people who bring? And as we press into that identity of who we are, Isaiah talks about what it will feel like to be those kind of people. In verse 9 of Isaiah 58, Isaiah says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say, here I am. In verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. When people talk about us as a faith community, when people talk about the church universal, oh God, I pray that they would talk about us in this way, that we're restorers, that we're repairers, that we make others strong, that we are like a watered garden, bringing water and hope and healing and restoration to one another. It's reminiscent of the text that our mission statement is built on. On the front of our bulletin covers, you read, seeking the peace and well-being of the city. And that's based on Jeremiah 29:7 that reads, as you seek the shalom of the city, you will find your shalom. As we seek to be restorers and repairers and healers in the city, as we seek to live out our identity this week of being salt, of being light, as we seek being a people of shalom, we will find our shalom. It's a mystery, but it's also a miracle that we can continue to pray will happen in our midst. As we close, after a closing prayer here, I want you to sit with these words and these challenges and with this gospel identity statement that says, we are salt. We are light. You're going to be hearing me use a phrase during the year that says, we ought to be a people who follow Jesus for the good of the world. And so as we think about being salt and light this week, maybe that's the practical phrase for you. We're following Jesus for the good of the world. The living Christ to us says today, Y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. So keep on shaking it up. Keep on lightening it up. A closing prayer from Brennan Manning. What the world longs for from the Christian religion is the witness of women and men daring enough to be different, humble enough to make mistakes, wild enough to be burned in the fire of love, and real enough to make others see how unreal they are. Jesus, Son of the living God, anoint us with fire this day. Let your word not shine in our hearts, but let it burn. Let there be no division, no compromise, no holding back. Separate the mystics from the romantics and goad us to that daredevil leap into the abyss of your love. In a moment of silence, reflect and pray.